I'm Laura Murphy Oates, and this is The Full Story. Right now, tech giant Apple is in court defending itself in a lawsuit brought by Epic Games, the company that created the smash hit Fortnite. It's a showdown that could redirect billions of dollars made on the Apple App Store. The host of our global news podcast, Today in Focus, Anushka Astana, starts this story outside of her comfort zone.
Okay.
Great, we're going. It's loading us into
what do
a game.
I do?
We are now loading into Fortnite.
In one of the weirder jobs I've had to do as a presenter on this podcast, for this episode, I borrowed a Nintendo Switch from a reluctant 8-year-old and then played a video game with The Guardian's UK technology editor, Alex Hearn. I'll be honest, I'm not a pro.
And what else do I need to know? So I need to know that that's fire, yeah?
Yep.
That's to kill people. B is to jump. Now, sometimes you get this circle and it's got little things on it.
So that's if you wanted to do a dance, that's how you would do that.
If I wanted to do a dance.
If you wanted to do a dance.
Okay.
The basic aim was to kill everyone. Well, apart from Alex, who was on my team.
There they are. Oh, no, not enough ammo.
They're to your left.
Which was good for me, but it soon transpired terrible for him because I was absolutely rubbish at this.
Where are they?
They are there.
Ah! Oh no, that was you. Sorry.
That was me. I got him.
Like, really rubbish.
Bad news is someone just hit me. I'm crawling across the grass. What can I do?
Not that I held back in taking the credit when, thanks to Alex, we won. Having killed everyone else on this Fortnite fantasy island.
And we won.
It just said I won! It said we won. I feel like I didn't take much part in that. Oh my goodness. My son is not going to be angry that I use Fortnite now that he knows I'm a winner.
And there we go. You have won your first game of Fortnite.
Yes!
So, why was I doing this? Because it turns out that the video game Fortnite is at the centre of a major legal battle, which has huge implications for the multi-billion dollar mobile app economy. The showdown began with Epic, the company that created Fortnite, saying it was fed up with the way in which tech giants were taking such hefty cuts from app developers. That led to a row that resulted in Apple throwing Fortnite off all its platforms, paving the way for a court case that could ultimately transform the way we use mobile phones. From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in Focus, Apple versus Epic and what it means for the rest of us. So Alex, we, or should I say you, just crushed the opposition on Fortnite. And the reason we're talking about this game is because it is the jewel in the crown for the gaming company Epic. And so it's the reason that Epic is now in this huge legal battle with Apple. Let's start with the game itself. Tell me about Fortnite. What makes it so popular?
So Fortnite is probably the biggest game in the world right now. It's a 99-player battle royale game. That means 99 players get dropped in Fortnite's massive island, run around picking up guns and items and materials to build shelters, and fight to be the last one alive. It's a format, you know, with its roots in things like the Hunger Games and the cult Japanese flick Battle Royale.
So we put 99 children on an island. We tell them to fight to the death and then one person's left alive.
And Fortnite is the video game version of that. But Fortnite is very cartoony. When you are playing as a walking, talking banana, it's hard to view it as quite such distressing violence. It's hard to actually say why it's quite so huge. It's a real lightning in a bottle thing. It jumped on this trend of battle royale games. It wasn't the first by any means. Fortnite came along and sort of Disneyfied it. It built this version of this genre that was incredibly easy to pick up and play. You know, it pulls in mechanics from popular games like Minecraft. It pulls in characters from other franchises. You know, you can play in Fortnite as Lara Croft. You can play in Fortnite as Neymar Jr. now. The footballer is now a Fortnite character.
For the very first time, this season's secret skin. We know it's going to be Neymar Jr., a crossover between the
It's become this huge transmedia brand. Fortnite also was groundbreaking in another way. It has crossplay amongst every platform it's on. A player on the PlayStation can play against someone on an Xbox who can play against someone on a Switch.
He's going back down. He sees him. Tim, 3, 2, 1. No.
The big reason for its continuing success is that it's managed to turn itself from being a game into a social space. I don't know if you've ever watched teens playing Fortnite. The game is almost secondary. It is a place that you can be with your friends where you're focusing far more on just chatting to them than you are on really playing the game. It's the 2021 equivalent of hopping on a phone call with one friend, but you can do it with two or three or four friends. And you've just got something to talk about while you're talking.
You love it, don't you?
I like playing games like Fortnite.
And here's the thing, right? My son's got a Switch. He's a bit young for Fortnite, but I've bought him two other games, and only two, because they cost an absolute fortune. But this one is free, isn't it?
It is. Fortnite is one of the first huge successes of the, not quite of free-to-play games in general, because free-to-play games have been huge for almost a decade now. But previously, that had been limited to things like Candy Crush, hyper-casual games that were intended to be picked up by people who would never even think of spending money on a video game. What Fortnite and games of its generation did was they brought that to these blockbuster games with huge production budgets. And Fortnite was kind of the first really big success story from a company going, we will make more money if we give everything about the game away for free to people who would happily have paid 20, 40, 60 pounds for a game of this quality. Because if we give it away for free, then we get A, hundreds of millions of players, and B, we can make money on things that we can sell weekly, monthly, daily. You can sell these cosmetic outfits that make you look cool in front of other people, that show that your character has been successful in previous games. It's huge in part because of peer pressure amongst kids. It's huge in part because of people my age with disposable income who just want to play as Batman and will drop £5 to do so. The market for cosmetics in games like Fortnite is huge.
I mean, how much do they make?
In the court case, we know that Fortnite made more than $5 billion for Epic Games in its first year, $9 billion over its first 2 years. This is a huge game that prints money and has revolutionized Epic's business.
Wow, so giving it away for free works quite well.
There's a lot of money in it.
A big headline out of Epic, it has raised $1 billion in funding. The company, which is best known for producing hit game Fortnite, now has a valuation of $28.7 billion. And this round,
and when you're buying stuff on it, you're not buying it with pounds.
Fundamental to the business model that this game and most other free-to-play games use is it has its own in-game currency. In this case, it's called V-Bucks. You buy V-Bucks using real pounds, but you can also be given them for free for achieving various goals in the game. And it has a few important ramifications. One is that it means that the company can slightly obscure the price of individual items. You know, if you can buy 2,000 V-Bucks for £6 and 4,000 V-Bucks for £10 and 10,000 V-Bucks for £25, by making it harder to compare it to real money, you have fake money in your account, you think slightly less about it than you would if you actually stared down the fact that you were spending £2.50 on the ability to make a video game character dance a particular dance.
Fortnite is obviously huge business for Epic. Tell me about the guy who runs this company, Tim Sweeney.
So he is a video games entrepreneur of the old school. You know, he founded Epic Games over two decades ago and then struck gold with Fortnite. They'd probably admit that it was serendipity that gave them this initial success of Fortnite. But they and Sweeney then iterated on it with incredible fervor. The company swelled to 3,200 people. They have a relentless release schedule that means that there is always something new to do in Fortnite. Now that Fortnite is a stable and mature business, Sweeney's turned his attention to fighting what he sees as a righteous war.
These companies are using their control of the operating systems powering the devices to exercise a monopoly over all commerce.
To making sure that the only people who make money from Fortnite are the people who make Fortnite.
It's totally un-American and uncompetitive. But that's exactly what Apple does in...
Okay, well, let's talk about that war. The other half of it is Apple. Tell us what they have got to do with any of this.
Apple make iPhones and iPads and Macs. And on iPhones and iPads, Apple also controls the App Store, the only way that you can install software on those devices. The App Store has been revolutionary, right? It effectively created the whole mobile ecosystem, which is the main way most people interact with technology now.
What's great about the iPhone is that if you want to check snow conditions on the mountain, there's an app for that. If you want to check how many calories are in your lunch, there's an app for that.
But over the last decade, what were initially selling points of the App Store, the fact that Apple vetted every single app on it, the fact that Apple provided its own payment system so that you didn't have to worry about your credit card details being stolen, the fact that if an app turned out to be malicious, Apple could retroactively pull it from the App Store and stop it damaging people's phones. Those were positive selling points a decade ago when installing software that you downloaded from the internet was still something that intimidated a lot of people. Apple and the App Store solved that. But what they also did was gave themselves a tremendous amount of power as a centralized gatekeeper for an entire industry, almost for an entire sector of the world's economy.
Yep, there's an app for just about anything, only on the iPhone.
You know, Apple these days takes the explicit view that if something happens on iOS, on iPhones, on the platform that Apple created, Apple sort of deserves a cut of that economic activity.
So how do they get that cut?
They take 15 to 30% of almost every payment made on the App Store.
In 2008, we introduced a new feature of the iPhone called the App Store. Launched with 500 apps, which seemed like a lot at the time, the App Store provided a safe and trusted way for users to get more out of their phone.
There are exceptions. If you're buying a physical good from an iPhone app, then Apple doesn't take a cut. But if you're buying a digital good, if you're paying a subscription, if you are paying the purchase price of an app, then Apple takes a flat 30% cut. It drops it to 15% for small companies and for subscriptions that have lasted for more than a year. And since then, 30% has become the norm for a lot of other stores. Apple was the first mover, but it's not an outlier in charging that much.
So Epic's issue is that every time someone plays Fortnite on an iPhone or iPad, £30 in every 100 that they spend goes straight to Apple.
Straight to Apple, doesn't even touch Epic's pockets.
How much money are we talking about? How much is spent on goods that Apple charges for in this way?
$61 billion in 2019 was spent on digital goods and services. Another $45 billion came through in-app advertising. That's a $100 billion industry of digital services, which is unquestionably through the App Store.
And how reliant is a company like Epic on this? I mean, you're playing on your PlayStation 5. I'm playing on my son's Nintendo Switch. Who's playing on Apple?
Epic still has more players on platforms like PlayStation. It makes more money from platforms like PlayStation. But the iPhone version of Fortnite has been responsible for around 5 to 10% of all Fortnite players since it launched on it.
And up against Epic's Tim is Apple's Tim. Tell me about Tim Cook.
Tim Cook is Apple's current CEO. Cook's background in Apple is actually in logistics. He's the person who turned a company that sold quite a lot of computers into a company that was capable of producing and shipping tens of millions of iPhones, selling them for $1,000 a piece every year without fail.
If you want to put it simply, products like iPhone just were.
His job was just being incredibly good at the details of managing a company with a supply chain the size of Apple's.
Okay, so on the one side, we've got Epic, a giant in gaming, but kind of like a little ant when you put it next to Apple.
Exactly.
Pretty much one of the biggest companies in the world. How did they end up squaring up for a fight?
Initially, everything was rosy between Epic and Apple. Apple really liked the fact that Fortnite, the unquestionable game of the moment, was available on iPhones. It really helped Apple boost its image of the iPhone as a fully featured gaming device. they worked with Epic. When Epic had a big public event with the rapper Travis Scott, Apple did a tie-in playlist on Apple Music. Sun is down, I'm freezing cold. That's how we already know. Apple invited Tim Sweeney on stage at Apple events.
Tim Sweeney. Tim, come on up.
It all started falling apart last summer when Epic launched what it had internally called Project Liberty, which was a surprise attack on, well, on Apple and on the iPhone App Store, on the very roots of it. First, Sweeney, behind the scenes, sent a message to Apple that basically said, hey, we are tired of paying this 30% cut, and we think we should all work together to introduce a new way for us to put the Epic Games Store directly on iPhones. We want you to let us put a second app store on it, and we won't pay you for that, but you'll be able to be the cool people who have Epic Games Store on the iPhone. Apple went, no. At which point, Epic did something that nobody had really expected. Epic decided to try and force Apple's hand. It released a version of Fortnite on iPhones that let you pay Epic directly for V-Bucks. Apple didn't like that and almost immediately pulled Fortnite from the App Store entirely.
This is going to be the most serious video I have ever made on my YouTube channel. We need to free Fortnite.
Welcome back to another Fortnite mobile update video. Now guys, today's video is going to be the most insane video I will ever upload.
Today's video, we have a very serious discussion. We're talking about Fortnite versus Apple.
That was unsurprising, and Epic, I think, had planned for that eventuality. What happened then was, I think, more interesting. Epic launched a huge publicity campaign. It really wanted to make this fight a very, very public fight. This was not some backroom discussion between lawyers at the two companies. This was Epic trying publicly to make Apple the villain. It launched a TV commercial that was a riff on Apple's famous 1984 commercial. A woman walking through a dystopian environment, hurling a hammer at a Big Brother-esque TV screen. Well, for Epic, it was Tim Cook on that Big Brother-esque TV screen. It's worth noting, at the same time as the App Store shenanigans, Epic did exactly the same thing to Google and got chucked off the Google Play Store at exactly the same time. In the end, the company basically said it could only handle one lawsuit, and it decided to go after Apple because A, Google does at least allow you to install apps from other sources on Android devices. It just makes it hard. And B, I think because, you know, Apple annoyed Tim Sweeney more. And so Epic went after Apple.
This is not clickbait. Fortnite is literally going through a lawsuit right now.
An epic battle going on in a California courtroom has its roots right here in the Triangle. Cary-based Epic Games is suing tech giant Apple, and the decision could change the entire app world. CBS 17's...
And Alex, this is a really big deal, isn't it? With consequences that go well beyond the world of people who play Fortnite. For any of us who use the App Store, this will determine Apple's power. Over $100 billion industry, and over us as consumers. What is the basis for this case?
So the court case is being taken by Epic. They sued Apple with a bunch of demands, everything ranging from put Fortnite back on the App Store, to force Apple to allow us to have other payment systems, to force Apple to let us put our own App Store on iPhones. But all of them ultimately have the same legal reasoning, which is, in Epic's case, Apple is a monopolist. The iPhone is so dominant that developers have to support it. Even if Apple doesn't have a literal monopoly in smartphones, the dominance of the iPhone, the fact that iPhones are owned, particularly in America, by the richest consumers, by the consumers most likely to spend real money, means that if you're making an app in 2020 or 2021, you have to be on the App Store. It is a basic fact of the business of mobile development. You have to be on the App Store if you make a mobile app. And that gives Apple undue power, and Apple has been abusing that power. Apple's response is it doesn't have a monopoly. It doesn't have a monopoly in smartphones sold in America because Android is huge. And while it does control the iPhone App Store, the only way of getting apps onto iPhones and iPads, that isn't a meaningful monopoly any more than Taylor Swift has a monopoly in Taylor Swift songs. If you define the market that narrowly, then everyone has a monopoly in the thing they make. And it argues that even if it were a monopolist, the restrictions it puts on the App Store are legitimate and they are not done as a malicious way of extracting payments from developers, but they're actually done as a perfectly reasonable way of ensuring that the App Store is safe and secure for all its users.
To day two in the high-stakes antitrust trial happening between Apple and Epic Games. The cross-examination of Epic CEO Tim Sweeney was aimed at weakening his argument that Apple's App Store is, quote, a walled garden that, quote, traps developers and puts onerous conditions on users.
Epic's Tim Sweeney has taken the stand, hasn't he? What did he say?
He made a really expansive case. Tim Sweeney doesn't aim low. He sells Fortnite as the first creation of a metaverse. In his eyes,
metaverse. What's a metaverse?
In his eyes, Fortnite, the game, is just the beginning of the company attempting to create a virtual space where we will live, to be a place where you log on and, I don't know, walk up to the Guardian's virtual placement and interact with stories that the Guardian has uploaded to the Fortnite metaverse. It wants other rappers to follow Travis Scott and launch their albums on the Fortnite metaverse. It wants to be effectively, you know, the successor to the internet, the virtual reality that everything happens on.
Do we know what's going to happen?
If you're asking me to guess, I'd say Epic will probably lose this. American competition law is really, really hard on plaintiffs. I can't see Epic convincing an American court that's a meaningful monopoly. And if it can't do that, then all of the rest of it falls down. Ultimately, Apple does have, if it's not a monopolist, the right to do what it wants with its platform.
Coming up, what will the outcome of this case mean for the two companies involved and for the rest of us? Alex, if Epic loses, what's at stake for them?
I think they've got into a fight they can afford to lose. Epic will lose that 5% of players who still use iPhones and iPads. Epic will forego the upside of growing its smartphone version as, you know, more and more people get iPhones into the future. But Epic is still primarily a video game played on games consoles, and so it will be able to survive.
So one sec, won't they just revert and pay the 30%?
I wonder. I think, I'm not entirely sure whether Apple would allow them back on. But even if Apple allowed Epic on, I'm not sure Epic would go back on. You know, it spent a year hemorrhaging iPhone users. Many of them will have switched to other platforms anyway, so there's not that much upside for the company going back on. And I think Epic is quietly confident that even if it loses the battle, it might still win the war. There's more regulation coming, you know, in the EU. There's American investigations into Apple. There's multiple other lawsuits. There's state-level legislation. Any one of those could give Epic the win that it wants now.
And if Apple do win, are they still damaged as a result of this?
I think so. The disclosures that have come out from both sides haven't been good for either of them. We've seen Apple saying things like the fact that iMessage not being on Android is good because it makes it harder for iPhone users to switch to Android. Everyone knows that, but it's a bit embarrassing for Apple's executives to be seen saying that in black and white on emails revealed by court. And then I think, ultimately, there will still be players who want to play Fortnite on their iPhones and who know that Apple's not letting Epic put it there. And Apple's a $2 trillion company. It's always fighting an uphill battle to portray itself as the wronged upon party.
And what if Apple loses?
If Apple loses, it will be quite a big deal. There's multiple ways it could lose, of course. I think if it did lose, it would be somewhere in the middle. And it would probably be a requirement that Apple stop forcing companies to use in-app purchases and allow companies to use their own payment systems. If that were the case, it could be quite transformative, right? There are entire industries that don't exist because of Apple's requirements. If you were trying to start an iPhone ebook store today, you would be facing the downside that before you could pay your authors, you had to pay 30% to Apple straight up then and there. That's not a good business. That's not a viable business. there is also a greater point of principle at play here, which is just, are phones yours? Is a phone a computer that you've bought that you have the right to do what you want with? Or is it a gadget that ultimately is under Apple's control that you do what Apple says you can do with it? I think, as a matter of fact, right now, it's the latter. But given the number of people in the world who don't have a computer, who live their lives through their phone, who rely on it for everything they do, for their business, for their pleasure, for their personal communications, there's a good case that it should be the former, that we should be talking about a right to use your phone as you see fit, not a requirement to use it as Apple does.
So what you're saying is, this isn't just a big story in the geeky tech world. It matters to people like me who prefer to go out on a Saturday night.
I mean, I say, I do have plans for Saturday and they do involve my PlayStation. But yeah, I think it is. I think it should matter far more than just in the gaming world. I think what we're talking about here is what the future economy should look like. Should Apple be entitled to take a cut of everything?
Yep, there's an app for just about anything, only on the iPhone.
Alex Hearn, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Alex Hearn, The Guardian's UK technology editor, who's been writing about this story. Do look up his pieces at theguardian.com and look out for his articles covering the rest of the court case. The first Apple executive took to the stand on Monday, Phil Schiller, and we're expecting the chief executive, Tim Cook, any day now. In the episode, Alex mentioned other ongoing investigations into Apple. Last month, the European Commission charged the company with breaking EU competition rules over the way it ran the App Store, specifically around the music industry. Apple said it was disappointing that the European Commission was advancing what it called baseless complaints from a handful of companies who simply want a free ride. The US Senate is also holding ongoing antitrust hearings, not just into Apple, but into several major tech companies. In both cases, Apple strenuously denies that it runs a monopoly. At a Senate hearing last month, one of its senior executives stressed both the security the App Store has brought to consumers and the great value it represented for developers, describing the 30% commission for digital goods as a competitive rate. That is it for today. My thanks to Alex and to the 8-year-old who let me briefly download Fortnite onto their Nintendo Switch. It has since been deleted. This episode was produced by Sammy Kent. Sound design was by Ian Chambers. The executive producers are Phil Maynard and Archie Bland. We'll be back tomorrow.